You know, Satan's going to want to stir up guilt and say, I've missed this, or it's too late, or you know what, I've been really negative so far, or whatever it is. And the goal here is let's set that aside and let's just say, what does it look like right now to step into that space? One step at a time with the message that you want to start generating now.
Before we jump into navigating this topic with our kids, that's what we're mostly going to talk about, but I just wanted to talk for a quick second about that your view of sexuality, your idea of God's design for sexuality, obviously is going to greatly impact how you teach your kids. You guys are all parents. You know it's very difficult to teach something that you don't believe in yourself. And this is a topic that we can all struggle with ourselves, believing God's design for sex. And so if that's something you probably is going to be something you struggle with, if it is right now, if it currently is, no, it could be in the future, to constantly be maintaining your own view of sexuality, your own understanding of what God says about it, and believing it yourself is super critical in being able to teach your kids God's design for sex. Just to kind of give you the layout of where we're going today, we're going to talk about who accepts the teaching responsibility, why this needs to be shared and developed in our kids, when do we talk about it, what that looks like in your kids as they grow, what to teach when those conversations happen, what is the content that we want to be teaching, and then how to engage the topic with our kids, what that looks like practically.
Yeah, and if you have hard questions, Allison's really hoping for those. So make sure that those are addressed to her. Very hard, very specific questions. Those go to Allison with one L. So now we're going to jump into the first question. Who's going to be the teacher for our children? And the visual that I want you to think about here is Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So what is it that we are to teach? You know, before that, the first few verses right before this, it's teaching our children to love God. And so it's capturing that. But if you go back even earlier in the chapter before, it's just the Ten Commandments. So whether you view this through a lens of teaching our children to love God or the commandments of God, that we are called into that space as parents. And if that's where we've been called into, loving God and His commandments, surely sexuality fits into that. So I want you to think about your child in a room. And they've got these seats in front of them. Let's say there's 12 seats that are going to minister into their hearts or lives. And some of those seats you get to pick. Some of those seats you get to figure out, who do you want to sit here in seat 2? And who do you want to sit in seat 7? And you get to pick some of those. Some of those you don't get to pick. The culture that we live in. That seat exists, and that seat is going to be full. And you can impact that seat and how it's going to affect your child. But you don't get to remove that seat from your child's life. And so if that's the case, and we've got these other seats over here, their peers or friends that they're going to interact with, whether that's at church or school or in the community, again, that seat, you get to influence, but you don't get to pick exactly who's going to sit there. And there's the other seats that you don't get to fully pick. So with the seats that are left, you and I, we need to sit in that seat right in the middle, seat 6, that is going to speak into their hearts and teach them what does it mean to love God, whether it's how they interact with their friends or in this topic of sexuality. And then, you know, seat 3 over here, let's make sure that we invite the church into that. Like, here is rule, so it's not just parents, it's the church family. And what does that look like? Maybe that's the Sunday school teachers or other people in their lives. And peers we don't get to fully pick, but let's make sure we put people that we care about and that we trust. And because I know, you know, as I think about sexuality, I mean, I wasn't going to be very quick to talk to my dad. I'd probably be more quick to talk to somebody that I trusted and knew that maybe my parents had cultivated that relationship. And so I think, again, we want to think about, yes, you and I need to step into this space, but there's also lots of opportunity for us to think about who else do we want to give the privilege of teaching this really hard topic, important topic that they're going to have to deal with. There's no way to avoid it, and they are going to be getting messages from other places. And so we want to fill those places that we have the opportunity to do that with. And you can do this. You can do this. It's hard. And I can tell you for sure, the first time, you know, sitting down with my 3-year-old son and saying the word penis, it's just like, oh my goodness. You know? And then Sunday morning he goes to church and tells all his friends about this new word. Like, no, that's not fun. That's not fun. But if we can have that and bring that in, for us to be the teachers that step into that space, which, of course, it is going to make us sweat. It's uncomfortable. But we've been given that role to do that.
So why does this need to be talked about? I think it's obvious that it's important. I think everybody knows it's important. And that's why you're here, which is awesome. But why is it that we want to engage this conversation with our kids? If we're unintentional in talking about this with our kids, what tends to happen is they come home from school with something that's really scary, or they got a, you know, someone at school talked about something, and our gut reaction tends to be negative when that happens. It's fear, right? It's driven by this fear of like, that's bad, don't do that. We don't talk about that. We don't look at those things. In the day-to-day with our kids, a lot of times what happens, at least with myself, and I'm assuming others, is our reaction tends to be fear-driven, and that's going to happen. These things come up. My daughter comes home from school and says, this boy said that he's going to be my husband. My reaction is like, no, like you're in kindergarten. We don't have husbands in kindergarten. So like my reaction tends to be negative when these things happen, which is okay for those reactions. I'm not going to be like, great. Invite them over for dinner. Like, that's not going to be a reaction. So what we want to balance that out with is this message that God has a message about sex, and it's good. It's positive. So if we're speaking this positive message into their lives, then when something comes up that doesn't fit into that, it sends a red flag off with them. Like, this doesn't go along with God's message. So we want to be speaking this positive message into their lives from birth all the way up to the time they leave our home, right? So looking back, a lot of times what was common previously is like having the talk, right? Like I'm sure I'm not the only one that's heard of that term. You have the talk with your mom when you're like 12 or something. Maybe none of you even ever had that. I know that's common too. It's like you never talk about it at all. And I think what needs to happen is we need to shift that a little bit, because this message from the world is loud and clear. It is not muted. It's not subtle. It's the world's message about sex is loud and clear. So if our message is not loud and clear and consistent, it's going to be very confusing for our kids. So if we're speaking negative, 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 until you're married and then it's positive, that's going to be very confusing. Or negative, 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 and then they have an experience and they're like, this isn't negative, so my parents lied to me. If we have a consistent biblical message to our kids about God's design for sex, then that is going to be such a jumpstart to their whole view about God. It's going to lead all the way through marriage. I just pray as I walk my kids through this is that I can speak to them this positive message about how God designed them, about how God made different genders and made relationships and made marriage, and that this is a good message. Again, we have to believe that ourselves too, right, to teach it to our kids.
So moving on into when do we talk about this? And I think the message that I'd love for you to leave with is right now. Whether your children are all under 3, or you've got children that, you know, are over 12 and you haven't said anything, or 3 and you haven't said anything, wherever you're at, you know, Satan's going to want to stir up guilt and say, I've missed this, or it's too late, or you know what, I've been really negative so far, or whatever it is. And the goal here is let's set that aside and let's just say, what does it look like right now to step into that space? One step at a time, with the message that you want to start generating now. and you get over some of those hurdles of those hard words and those hard conversations, hopefully then that the nervousness dies down around that, and then by the time they're older, it's not the first time that they've heard these words, and if you can do that, you're going to build this fabric of that continuous positive message that Allison just talked about. So just encourage into that space of what does that look like to think about starting this conversation with your kids today. You know, what we read here in Proverbs, train up a child in the way they shall go and they shall not depart with. Now again, we know from Proverbs it's not a promise, it's a proverb. So again, for us to step into that space, trust the Spirit's working in that, and may the Lord then, you know, use that as they continue to age and grow.
So what to teach? As these conversations come up with our kids, what do we want our message to be to our kids? And I think it obviously changes as they grow. I don't want to put age ranges on it because every kid is so different. If kids are coming to you with questions and they're not in that age range, don't, you know, say, nope, not till you're 17 or whatever. But I think to get an idea, I'm going to use broad age ranges. But that what to teach changes in a sense as they grow, but that the message is the same. Does that make sense? Your message is going to be continuous throughout it, but it just deepens, it grows. So, you know, in that first, when they're first asking questions, like ages like 3 to 5, when they're figuring out differences between boys and girls, that God created them to be like that, that he has a plan and there's a purpose in why he made boys and girls different. And I think what's crucial here at that young age is not necessarily that you're saying every word correctly or that you're saying all the right things, but you're inviting that conversation. I think when they're young, it can be really easy to say, we don't talk about things like that. We're not gonna ask your dad. I've used that so many times, and I have to stop myself. Like if my response is, no, later, then you're putting up walls and you're not inviting your kids to come to you with questions. And it's so crucial at these young ages to invite that conversation. So when they're young, instead of being super picky about having the exact right thing to say and prepping it and having, you know, a PowerPoint presentation for your 3-year-old probably isn't going to go over very well. So just invite that conversation. Be open to it. Try your best to respond in a way that's not scared, which is really easy to say and really hard to do when they come to you with these questions that seem way too old for them to be asking. If you're acknowledging their curiosity, that's not a bad thing. You're going to be curious. You're going to have questions. Please come to me. We'll walk through this. There are going to be things that we'll talk about later, but right now we can have a conversation about this, and you can teach them about how God made them. And then as they grow, you're going to talk about God's design for their bodies, that God made them with a purpose, that he made body parts for a purpose, that he has this plan, and it's good, right? God has a message about sex, and it's good. As they're, you know, this really broad age range of like 6 to 12, that's like huge, right? But they're starting to have crushes on boys, and you know you want to be like, no, you're 6, you can't have crushes on boys. But you're talking through those emotions and that God gave, you know, these emotions and what to do with them. You're going to be talking about parts that you don't, that are private, right? And that you don't let other people touch and you don't show. And as these conversations come, as they're changing clothes, I mean, the conversations happen. And what I tend to do is we don't do that, we don't do that, we don't say this. And I have to keep reminding myself to open myself up to those conversations, to allow them to come to me with questions, that come to me with what they think about that, with, you know, why am I having these feelings towards this boy at school or this girl at school, to again, to invite those conversations. And then as they, you know, they're older, they're in the teen years, speaking to them about, you know, that God created, well, of course you're going to be talking about this through the whole thing, but that God created this, your bodies for a design for sex, and it's good. And following, then as they're teenagers, following God's design for sex brings joys, great joys, if you follow what the Bible teaches about God's design for sex, and that there are sorrows. So you're going to be teaching them both sides, that there are consequences for actions that are taken outside of God's design. The message certainly grows as they get older, and it's going to get only harder, right? As our kids get older, the conversations probably will get more and more uncomfortable. But if we can think, I think the most important thing to think of is that you're inviting conversation. You're overcoming your fears of what would happen if my kids know about this. And you're going to realize that this is a message that God has written for their lives. This is a design God has for their lives. And fear is only going to build walls between you and your kids. And that is something, obviously, we don't want to do. We want to invite that conversation. Invite people, like Brian was saying about the table. Invite other people in their lives. So when these conversations come up and they don't want to talk to you, that they have options of people that you trust that will speak truth into their lives. It's crucial.
So now, as we've talked through a little bit of the, you know, who, what, when, why, now we're going to kind of try to put all this together in the how. How do we actually step into this space? And maybe two ways to be thinking about this are, you know, the daily interactions that are, you know, proactive. And proactive is, I would see that as you engaging them in the conversation. Whereas maybe more responsive is where something has occurred or they're coming to you. So it's not necessarily bad. Both are there and both are necessary. But if we can, we need to work more on stepping into the proactive space and not just waiting for the responsive things. We're going to have to respond, no doubt. But where can we be proactive? So, you know, Bible stories. And again, I know it's hard to do family devotion, and even just doing that piece of it looks big sometimes. And then if you think, he's asking me to talk about sex when we're reading the Bible, like, how do I add that on top? But it's not, it's when you're reading through the creation story and it's, you know, God created man and woman, like what a great picture there to talk about, whether you're in the stage of, you know, God made man and woman different and they have different body parts and they're good and they're equal in value, but they're different and have unique roles and being able to step into that space. And you know, there you can also talk about gender and what that's the beginning of God's institution for marriage. And you can talk about that. And so there's so many pieces that you can bring into just even a simple story like that. Or as you move on and you're reading about Jonathan and David's relationship, and what a great picture there of two men who love each other. And you can use that to say, you know what, it's good for you to have good same-sex friends and to love each other and to do life together. And that doesn't mean that you're homosexual. That doesn't mean that something's wrong. It's that, how do we do those things? How do we love other men? Or if it's your little girl, how do you love other girls in a way that honors God? And just bringing those into those just natural things that flow out of those stories as you're walking through those. And particularly, you know, as they get older, that discussion can go deeper. And what a glorious thing. Or, you know, the local or national news, you know, whether you're reading your newspaper or you're scrolling on your phone, you know, the Fox News or NBC or whatever you use, as you're, and you come across a headline and you say, you know, that pertains to the topic of sexuality, like asking them, so this is the headline, and what do you think about that? Or where does your mind go with that? And using that to teach them. And again, the culture is one of the seats that's going to pour into their hearts. You don't get to remove that. So when that comes up, be a teacher. Engage them on that topic and help them sort through that in a way that honors the Lord and is consistent with loving God and a biblical picture. Or media, you know, as you're driving down the road and there's a billboard and it's, you know, they're selling maybe whatever it is, whether it's vodka or soap or, you know, a sandwich, and there's a, you know, a seductive woman or a half-dressed, like, to be able to engage them. Yeah, what do you think they're trying to pull from us with that sign? What do you think they're intending to do? Maybe they're, you know, they're pulling on God's design that sex is something that kind of excites us and brings these emotions that we like. And they think if they can pull that up in us and put their product next to it, we're more likely to buy it. I wonder if that's what's going on. What do you think God wants us to see when we look at that sign? I mean, I think he wants us to see a soul, a person that's there, that he wants me to look at her as a daughter of somebody. And maybe she'll be a mother, and maybe she already, like, and just to have that kind of conversation as you're walking through. Again, you can't remove that sign, But if they notice it or you notice it, you can bring that into that discussion, or you're going through your Facebook feed and, you know, one of your friends brings up, you know, something, you know, we should do this, and it's not according to the biblical model, and you say, what do you think about this? And you're just bringing that into your daily discussion or their interaction with peers. You know, okay, you're going to go and you're going to, you know, go over to your friend's house here for a few hours. What does that look like to interact with them in a way that honors God? It doesn't even have to be specifically about sex, but you're talking about relationships and treating each other in a way that honors the Lord. And then if the topic of sex or things come up, then you can do that. More responsive. Let's say you walk into a room and your children are playing doctor. Like, that is so common. Like, that's a natural part of, like Allison talked about. Kids are curious about sex, and what that usually leads to is they're wondering about, girls are different, their body parts are different, what does that mean? And that curiosity stirs, whether they're 3 or 13 or 53. You know, there's just curiosity. That's part of, and again, if we can speak into that and just say, nope, we don't do that, go away, and if that's the only conversation, I mean, you've done something, and that's positive that you've said don't do that. But what a great opportunity to step into that and say, okay, what's going on here, and talking to both of them. And yet, yeah, boys and girls are different. And when you're curious, what should you do? Yeah, come talk to dad or mom. And we don't do that here. If you want to play doctor, here, why don't you use an animal or, you know, a stuffed animal and that sort of thing. If you have questions about what body parts look like or difference between boys and girls, talk to me. And there's books that we can read, or we can look at things and better understand that and fuel that curiosity in a way that's going to be protective and pointing them towards God, rather than just letting it run into a place that's beyond what they're capable of handling, and then it'll end up destroying them, and Satan will suck them into things that will be hurtful. Or age 11, you know, as you're, you know, they're moving through puberty, and almost, you know, the average age of child looking at pornography is around 11, a lot of the statistics say. And so if that happens, how do you respond to that? And again, speak to them and teach them. Obviously, you're going to tell them that's wrong, but also to have that, what does that look like to engage them in a continuous positive message of, yeah, I can see that you're curious. I'm glad that I caught you, and let's talk about this. How do we protect you in that? Why would we say that that's not okay? What's God's design for this? And just walking through those day-to-day activities. And again, our first reaction a lot of times is panic, that we can't change that, or no, don't do that. You know, and if we can just be purposeful of how do we step into this space in a way that's preparing them for the world that they're going into and the world that's already pouring into them, you know, that's really our heart. And if we can start this communication today, it gives us opportunity to build on that as life progresses. And if we just wait for the responsive, you know, then we're going to be working backwards, because they don't have a foundation of truth to work from. It's just they're trying to sort it all out at the same time. But if they have a foundation of truth to work from, and then we have these responsive situations or moments, they're going to have already things to put in place that you can draw from and work on and use those as teachable. And that would be wonderful if that's able to happen.
But there are a lot of good resources out there. Don't be afraid to talk to people who are going through the same things with you. Talk to people who have gone through it before. Again, I think it's hard when generations look different. Like, I think our parents had a different job of teaching sex education than we do today. So it can be hard when you feel like you're blazing this new trail in this culture that's different. But there are a lot of good resources out there. So does anyone have any questions for Brian? or any comments or anything you want to share?
I think the wife should do it all.
Yeah.
He's buying our dinner.
Yeah.
He's buying our
dinner. No, I guess from my perspective, I think it would be a lot of wisdom in going through the, like, for her to be, you know, teaching with the girls and having some one-on-one time. For sure, but I don't think that's primarily should be her job with the females and me with the men. I think we should certainly take time to do that, and I should be speaking into my son's life individually, but certainly, you know, she's going to have a lot of interaction with him that I'm not going to, and vice versa, and it's just about, as those moments come up, engaging that, whether that's your daughter or your son. But I think there would certainly be benefit in going through. I hope to sit down and read each of these with my son, just he and I. But I'd hope to sit down and read all of these with all of my daughters, just me, you know, as well. So I would say to look at it as a team effort and engage those opportunities as they come, whenever they are. My heart would be that this would just stir up discussion in this group and with each other, and that we could encourage each other into this space. Because this is, you know, probably one of the primary areas that Satan is using to just pull young men and women out of being able to. Satan's using it against us, and we've got to step into that space and join the fight and help them along. And if we can just encourage each other and bless each other in that, and we don't always know what to say, and that's okay, but if we can just engage that space.